Thomas Torero podcast 134 in Paddington Station, or actually just outside Paddington Station in a pub. I'm in transit, I think you say. I'm having a cheeky Guinness, and the guest on today's podcast is having a coffee because he's rearing himself up for a date. It's a double whammy today. It's a Tom. Oh, that's a GPS system, isn't it? Tom. Yeah. So this is a navigation podcast with Tom and Tom, Thomas and Thomas, and interestingly, in the park opposite there, Tom, that's where I did another podcast with a guy called Tom, and the podcast was entitled How to Fuck in a Park or something.
I remember that one.
And iTunes asked me to change it to How to Get Laid in a Park, which I thought was quite sweet, really. Getting laid is fine, but fucking is not okay. We don't fuck on iTunes. So here we are. This is another Thomas, and in today's podcast, we will talk about 2018, as I promised you, but more interestingly, from the perspective of the guest, because I've already moaned about 2017 and me overpulling, so you can guess what I'm going to do in 2018, underpull, and relax a little bit more. But Thomas came to my attention because some students and some guys at events would mention his name and would mention his writing and say, this guy has a system. And he has statistics and he gets laid systematically. And when I hear the word systematically, my geeky ears prick up, the prick that I am. And I think, wow, this guy can do it if you put a gun to his head. That's always the test. It's not like the lucky, grotty Burger King lay. This guy has some kind of system and some kind of results. And you listening, dear listeners, will be very interested in 2017 data, possibly before. So, without further ado, it's Thomas. Or shall I call you Tom or Thomas?
We'll go with Tom.
You have to give the backstory, the pain story. Give a bit of context to why you're a day gamer.
Okay. All right, so I think, like a lot of guys, my story starts with a breakup. Okay, so it was September 2016. The front door to my flat sort of slammed. You know, my ex-girlfriend walks out, and I'm sort of sitting there on the bed, thinking to myself, okay, right, what's coming next? You know, so interesting. I broke up with her because I was in last year of the relationship, and she wasn't what I wanted anymore. You know, she'd started sort of, like you said, systematically. She had a talent for systematically making herself sort of unattractive, as cruel as it might sound. Okay. So I'm sitting there on my bed.
She's British.
She said she was Irish. Irish, but moved to England very young.
We'll give her that.
Mm-hmm. And so I was sitting there and had all these thoughts whirling through my mind. So yeah, I'm thinking to myself, what comes next? Now, actually, a year into my relationship with her, I'd read The Game, of course. And then even before that, some of you guys might remember this, is there was this show called How I Met Your Mother. And there was this character, Barney Stinson, and he was a pickup artist, albeit a very caricatured one.
Okay.
The show was actually very, very feminized, but this guy, this character stuck in my head. And I think the thing that I loved about him was that he could sort of do things effortlessly. And that stuck in my mind. So fast forward, we're at the breakup again. And I was feeling a bit guilty, actually. I was feeling a bit guilty because I didn't feel too sad about the breakup. Literally, I was actually more concerned about what her parents would think and how my parents would feel, and sort of my siblings, my friends, and how I was going to fit myself back into life this way. Now, I'd also realized over those 3 years that I'd been with her that one girl was not enough. And so let me give you the backstory again. So my girlfriend was the third girl I'd ever slept with. I was 21 years old. And so now, 3 years later, 23 years old, three girls. And should I give spoilers now?
No, go for it. Yeah, okay. Yes, give the spoilers.
Give the spoilers.
Yes.
So three girls, September 2016. We are now sitting here in December 2017.
Yep.
And from a combination of mostly day game, but some nightclubs, some social circle, I'm now at 38.
Fuck me. Well, no, don't fuck me. wow, yeah, very good. Very good. Easily qualifies as a podcast guest. That is real data.
Thanks. And over the sort of 2 months after the breakup, I started getting into day game. And actually, the way I found it was I was in a I was in a coffee shop and I just finished my macchiato, and I was sitting there and I kept on catching the eye of this girl. And I was like sitting there, I was all nervous, you know, I was holding my coffee cup, it was spilling over a little bit. And I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna go talk to her. Walked up to her, said, "Shnart, you look quite cute." Her first words to me was, "I have a boyfriend." Of course, being inexperienced at the time, I ran away, tail between my leg. I was like, "Oh, okay then." And then I went off. So I went home. First, I Googled how to talk to a girl in a coffee shop.
Whoa.
Then I found this thing, this word, day game. Yeah. So I was a bit perplexed. Tapped that into YouTube.
Yeah.
And whose YouTube video should
Beautiful.
Show up?
Beautiful.
There you go. It was meant to be.
It was meant to be.
Mm. So once I put away the tissues, I actually got onto the
that
street.
That sounds very romantic. You hit the streets.
And got started.
Alone?
Yeah. Most... Well, okay. I'll explain. So one day during work, I was like, right, I'm going to do some day game at lunchtime. I went out and I did 6 approaches. Absolutely awful. But I came back and it was just the adrenaline dump.
Yeah.
I couldn't do anything for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And that maybe continued for a few weeks. I'd go out on the weekends, do some sets. No results, of course. And then I started to meet a few other guys. You know, we'd go out day game together. We'd sort of help ourselves over the approach anxiety. But it wasn't until sort of the beginning of December when I really started going out on my own, you know, and that's when you hit, you know, you say like the flow state.
Yeah.
So I think that's when you have all the endorphins coming out and you're feeling quite euphoric, you feel like, yeah, this is the meaning of life. I'm going around. I don't even care about the time. I'm just walking about, throwing sets out here and there, just happy. Yeah. And that's kind of like your beginner's luck.
Yeah.
When you're just you're happy to be there, you don't really have much game, but girls are happy to talk to you because you're the sort of shining light in their otherwise dreary cold day. You know, they love it.
I'm jealous of guys that still have that energy pouring out of them.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Because it only comes at the beginning. It's a blissful state of like naivety almost when you're in Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, and I see it on guys in their first year, and then you get slightly more jaded and miserable like me, but exactly. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Results can actually come thick and fast from that puppy dog energy.
Oh, exactly. I think, and as well, there's a I think that's maybe contributes to what some people would say is beginner's luck. You know, you're just so ecstatic to be out doing
very genuine as well.
Yeah exactly. Yeah, you're that's natural game though, isn't it?
Natural game, yeah.
Being genuine.
Yeah. But you did literally just see her and you literally do think she looks very nice.
French, yeah. Some girls, they do look French, you know, yeah. And it's
especially
their problem.
In Paris, it's a great stack in Paris, that. Yeah. But did the golden question is, did you get a lucky roll of the dice early on? Because this really makes or breaks a newbie.
Oh, I've got a great story for that, actually. So I was on a holiday from work in November. I was out in Leicester Square.
How many months into it?
2. Okay. 2 months, month and a half. And I meet a girl. Sort of, I date her. Take her for a walk around Covent Garden. Okay. Get her into a pub, Punch and Judy pub.
Oh,
good. We looked down into the square. We watched the man with his big balls.
Yeah.
That was a great performance.
Yep, good.
Take her downstairs.
Yep.
Kissed her, looked over her shoulder at her Instagram account, and I kid you not, she was literally had been a runner-up in a sort of Central American beauty pageant, national one.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was like thinking to myself, fucking hell, all right then. And it was obvious, it was like same day late, that's what I think now.
Yeah.
She's saying like, oh, where do you live? I was like, oh, I told her where I live. And then she was like, I've never been there before. And of course, the beginner, I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Well, maybe another time I'll show you that place. And of course, next time, see her. I actually take her on a date. Bounce back to mine. She's on a period. Which was just obviously saying that past one was just the taker at the flood. And never got her.
Oh, mate.
And I was like, fucking hell, you know those moments when you like sink to your knees and you're like,
she should be sinking to her knees. But did you try to battle through the period blood, or did you wade through it?
I tried for a long hard time.
It's either a yes or a no, isn't it? A girl's either comfortable doing it or not.
Oh yeah. In fact, if fast forward to today, I had a girl, slept with her before, stayed overnight. She turns out she was on a period, but I fucked her anyway. And you just look down and it's like a murder scene.
Yeah.
You've stabbed her and it's
even,
blood
it's
everywhere.
Worse in an Airbnb or you know, a hostel. That's embarrassing. But anyway.
It's your bedroom.
And anyway, you got the result. You got the result after 2 months, or almost got the result. You glimpsed.
Yes, it was possible. That's it.
Valhalla, yeah.
Mm. I think that's a key thing with myself, is like the way I think about things is that once it's achieved,
yeah,
it's always possible. Yeah. You know, for example, guys can look at yourself and they say, well, I know you can get laid from day game, but and they believe it, or they but they don't really know it. You know, they don't, in their heart, they don't know it.
Yeah.
And then once it occurs, they sort of think to themselves, this is what happens to me, it's like, oh yeah, that is possible. Now it's just a thing that I can do.
Yeah.
It's hard, no doubt, but
yeah,
it's possible.
Yeah.
It's on the table as long as you reach out for it. So sort of put in the numbers, put in the sets, and
this is now the meat. Are we going to talk about the data?
Sure. Okay.
Okay. Because that backstory might be familiar to you. How old are you now, Thomas?
25.
25.
Mm-hmm.
I'm jealous as ever, because. Mm-hmm. You know, glory is to come.
Mm.
And looking at you, podcast listeners cannot look at you, unfortunately. But you seem to have your sexual market value together.
Thank you.
As a 25-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you can sustain that, it can only get better. And that's something to note, because guys do misunderstand that everybody starts from the same place.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do have your SMV together, yeah, then this is the delivery mechanism. I mean, I guess if you did look like that a couple of years ago or ish,
mm-hmm,
then you can skip some stages. But if you are sitting there and there are a lot of things to change,
mm-hmm,
then that's the disclaimer of the podcast. And I don't hide it. And take a good hard look at yourself. And if you're not sure, listen to women's feedback. And anyway, it's an interesting point. But you started from a good place. You're mm-hmm still in a good place.
Yeah.
And mate, as you might know, I started around the age of 28.
Exactly.
And I can tell you the best years, they're around 33 to 35.
Mm.
So, fuck yeah, like rock and roll. It's all to come, that's what she said. But the juicy stuff, because this is what guys really want, and not many people talk about it. So the data, you probably have a systematic, logical IT engineering background if you're listening to this, and so do I, I'm a scientist. And Tom, what are you?
I am economics.
Background. Bingo, okay.
Yeah.
But you are systematic, I know that. And you keep data, mm-hmm, and here we go, the good and the bad. And dear listeners, take out your calculator from your pocket and crunch these numbers.
Lovely jubbly. Okay, I've actually got these split out into three sections. So we'll start with the first 200 approaches. So this was between October and December 2016. We got, just go quickly through these. There was actually 208 approaches and two lays.
Wow.
So that was started in beginning of October. Approach. Actually met these two girls one day after the other at the first week of December. So maybe, you know what, there might have been something amazing about my vibe that day. Actually, I have an office job. And the interesting thing was that I was getting nervous all day waiting for it. But then when I got onto the street, it was like the pressure broke out and turned into that euphoria we were talking about earlier.
Were there some near misses within that 200? Let's say girls in your house.
Let me think.
Roughly.
Well, there was the one. There was the one I just described.
Yeah.
This Central South American girl.
That's a near miss.
There was a lot of dates where I had no fucking idea of what to do. Literally no escalation plan. Just
but
like
looking back, there might have been more lays within that.
Oh god, yeah. I wish I could go back and relive.
Yeah.
You imagine, like, when you were shit, like,
oh,
how many yes girls were there?
Oh,
possibly.
Yeah. What do they think when you don't escalate? What the fuck? Anyway,
yeah.
Great. So that's bang on the cheeky day game stats. I say 1 in 100 as a very rough ballpark figure, but 2 in 200. Bada bing.
Yeah, very good. All right. So that was 2016. Now we've got 2017, full year. Now, all right, listen up. In 2017, I've done 1,430 approaches.
Fuck, man, that's...
I've got...
That's a great number.
I've got four...
In London?
Yes, all in London. 400 phone numbers, so that's about 1 in 3.5.
That's high for London.
That's very good. I went on 66 dates. And I got 18 lays.
I'm going to insert here a round of applause. Let's insert it here. Marvellous, Tom. That's why you're on the podcast.
Splendid.
Not only for the number of approaches, because if there were no results in that, I would just kick you out and say you're a spam approach, you're an utter idiot. But we see the dates in there and we see the lays in there. Jesus Christ. Shall we unpick some of those and highlights? And
yes. Highlighted lays.
Highlighted lays. Don't be bashful.
Okay, actually, here we go, Tom. I can say thank you to you for this one. As I came from your Day Game 3.0 seminar.
February.
Yep. And I was really inspired to do the one date, one venue, yes, one drink, whole date plan thing.
Yeah.
So, I completely stole your escalation plan from the seminar. Went on the date with this Finnish girl, and probably it was like my best 45 minutes of game in my life.
Wow.
It was proper symphonic, you know, it's like up and down, bit of comfort, talk about her, about me, bit of physical escalation, verbal escalation. And
Finnish?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
There we
say,
go.
My friend Baxter, Robert Beck, says Finland, Sinland, Winland. God bless the Finnish girls. If you're listening, send me an email, Finnish girls.
It's very good. Apart from this one, she's mine.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, so it's one of those things where over the course of 45 minutes, she's just kind of looking at you closer and closer in your face, and her eyes are like proper dog dinner bowl eyes.
Yeah.
You know, she's looking at you like, uh-huh, okay. And just completely in my frame as such, you know, completely captured.
This was near your house?
Of course, yeah.
Thank
actually,
God.
That is a good thing I want to bring up is that I live in zone 2.
Good.
And I think every guy I talk to, they seem to be having their dates in central London. And I was like, well, you might as well try and get her out near your house to begin with.
Yeah.
Because it's actually congruent with what you've been doing on the street, right? If you're going up to her, basically propositioning her for sex in a covert way, then she's going to think to herself, yeah, that's natural, right? We're going to meet near his house, and as long as he doesn't, you know, fuck it up, that's good.
If there's something vaguely plausible, it's fine. Like, we just met a guy from Clapham Junction. That's absolutely fine. I used to do Wimbledon. It's absolutely fine.
Mm.
But, yeah, a tube stop is needed.
Oh, of course, yeah.
That's, I mean, in London and New York, that's all that's needed.
Mm. A girl say to me, why that place? And I just say, good beer, good coffee, good adventure.
You say the real London, yeah.
Forget
middle London, yeah. Have you seen the real London? But good coffee, good beer, good adventure, yeah.
That's it. And then, because you just have to give a little bit of a plausible reason.
Yeah.
And they'll come. They like it.
She's come on the tube anyway, so probably.
Yeah. Right, back to the numbers. Back to the juicy stuff.
Yeah, guys are going, fuck that.
Yeah.
I hope you've done the maths, guys. Good.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, if you've done the maths, then you would find out by now that is, let's see, 2017, let's just take that. 3.6 approaches to each number. And admittedly, sometimes you can force those at the end. So it might not be 3.6 strong numbers.
Yeah.
3.6 approaches to get one strong number. But numbers nonetheless, you never know when you're gonna catch her. And from that, the overall is 79 approaches to each lay in 2017.
And
That is building, when we're going to go on to what comes next, is the aims.
Is this your first real year of game?
Yeah.
Well, that is bloody impressive. Because other guy, it's around a 2-year learning window.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jesus, yeah, if we look ahead, if you want to look ahead in a minute to 2018... Are you ready to do that, or are there more stats?
Oh, there's more stats. There's even more stats.
I mean, we can bring it out wider than 2017, or, you know, as many stats as you want.
I've got one more. So I keep spreadsheets for sets of 1,000 approaches. So the first 1,000, the second 1,000. I've also got in a very nerdy fashion, I have got a spreadsheet entitled Lay Breakdown on my laptop.
It sounds painful.
Oh, that's a good one, though. It's good for memories. And so on that, I've put the names, I can remember them, where they're from, things like, this other thing is hair colour, whether they're skinny or curvy, their fashion, their height, whether I was solo or winged, and when I closed them, so what day it was. And with this data, I'm trying to piece together, which girls do I do the best with?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it's overanalyzing, but...
Well, I was chatting to a guy yesterday about this. There's that problem of selection bias, and there's so many variables in what we're doing, but I accept that.
Mm. From those lays, then I've also got, so say here,
go on,
average lay date, 1.4. So that is, you said, better than the average?
Yeah, that is 50-50, yeah, on the lay.
Average age, 22.7.
Younger than you.
Mm-hmm. And average quality. Now, this is one of the things I want to improve.
Yeah.
Well, both.
Yeah.
For next year, is average quality 7.1. Now, with some girls, and that's ranging from one girl who I would consider a 9, down to a couple of 6s who we won't speak about. You know,
I just call them cheeseburgers in Mackey D's, that's all. It's fine.
Delicious. Everyone can have a cheeseburger.
Mm-hmm. What's your diet, though?
Yeah, well, once a month is fine.
Mm. So that's part of the aim for next year. Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, I've slept with girls this year who are hotter than the other girls I've ever slept with. But I want to make that subsection of the entire population, you know, bigger to take over it, not to be, I don't know, a third, to be two-thirds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, shall we move on?
To 2018. Mm-hmm. That's a very good segue. You can tell Tom does his own podcasts because we're flowing nicely onto section 3, which is 2018. So if you've got this far into the podcast, you should have written down how many approaches you've done in 2017, and be honest with yourself because nobody's going to see that number. You can calculate how many rejections you've had. That's quite fun. And guys say, oh, I don't count approaches. Well, you can kind of estimate it. And then dates, you can remember that. Just go back through your phone and look at the number of numbers, the number of dates. And don't you tell me you can't remember the number of lays, because you can. Maybe Mick Jagger cannot remember how many girls he slept with. I accept that. But you bloody know, right? So write it down. No one's going to see it. Do the same percentages as Tom. Think how long you've been in it for. Think about quality. That's your 10. And people say, oh, you can't judge beauty. Well, you kind of can. If you show it to 5 guys, they'll give you a number. That's probably the right number. Say again.
The burger chain, 5 guys.
5 guys, yeah. Walk into 5 guys and flash your secret selfies. 2018. I say don't make resolutions. Don't make promises. It's a load of bullshit. It's more self-help bollocks. Worst time to join a gym or even do a boot camp. Don't do it, because it's just based on your emotions. You're a sucker. What you want to do, as I said last year and the year before and the year before and the year before, is to form habits. And from what Tom did, it sounds like he jumped in immediately in field. And fucking great, right? Don't buy a book, don't go to a seminar, just jump in field. That's what I did. And results speak for themselves. So you form habits, approaching, closing. I made a YouTube video on keeping it fucking simple. So you open, you tease, i.e. you break rapport, and you close. And 90% of your results will come from that. Up your volume of approaches to 99% of listeners. There are a few spam approaches out there, but I've met you and I've told you off, so stop it. But for most of you, up your approaches. But okay, back to Tom. Now, a big subject is being in London and quality, because you'll get this question all the time. Why do good day gamers leave London? And the forum answer is, because day game doesn't work in London. And I say, well, my first book was written in London, about 100 lays in London. So it works in London, but there is a truth in that in Moscow, there must be, via normal distribution, a greater number of my 9s. And it may be for you in Brazil, there may be a greater number of your 9s. So that's why day gamers leave London, because you have the 7 heaven period. And then you think, what do I really like? And maybe for you, dear listener, it's Swedish girls or Congo girls. You have to go there, because the normal distribution gives me a lazy time in Moscow of approaching in 2 hours, 5 8s or 9s.
Exactly.
In London, you know that you have to walk a long way to find a Russian 9, sometimes a month in London. And that London has this kind of, it's like fishing, I used to say, in a canal. You can bring out a trout or you can bring out a trolley, and it's just, there's so many people. And to find that Swedish 9, she's there, she's here, but she's not obvious. You know what I mean?
You got to search.
You got to search, and you can have lucky days where you turn the corner and there's 2 sisters from Sweden. Or you can have a month where there's just like Spanish 6s, you know, and you're like, where the fuck are these girls? But anyway, 2018, is it about quality, or are you going for like 100 notches or some crazy like dream?
So obviously, like I was going on about, banging on about data. So it's going to be, I've been using the data to work out where I want to improve next year. And of course, everyone wants higher quality. But like you're saying, Tom, that sometimes you've got to, like the special girl that you want isn't going to be in abundance where you are. So change the things that you can change yourself.
Yep.
And what I want to do, my aim for next year, 2018, is to have 2 lays a month, or at least to have 24 by the end of the year. I actually mapped out the girls that I slept with across the year, and they come in bunches, you know, mostly January to March, and then just after Easter, and then one a month roughly afterwards. And I think a lot of guys have found that as well. I mean, it's just animals and the springtime.
Maybe, don't know. Maybe your energy, your enthusiastic.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, the spring rays of sunshine break through the clouds, and I'm a happy crown.
Girls definitely are ripe for plucking in January and February. So if you're listening right now, your girls are lonely as hell. Mm,
exactly. Ripe for plucking. So don't be a chicken. And so 2018. So,
yeah. What are the numbers?
Now I want to get up 24. So I was thinking about this. If I literally had exactly the same amount of approaches, same amount of phone numbers, same amount of dates, that was a 27% date conversion. So for me, that was roughly 4 girls came out on dates, kissed 2 of them, fuck 1 of them. And if I just get that up by 10%, then I will get to that 24 lays in a year. But of course, as I was saying, like you don't want to base it too much on compliance, because you know you're saying like you might not find even the girls you're attracted to.
Yeah.
And the way I'm going to break this down is I'm going to add more stats in, and we're going to have dates, we're going to have kisses, we're going to have bounce backs,
yep,
and we're going to have lays.
Yep.
So from there, we'll be able to break down who was a time waster, who did I over escalate on? You know, I raised the bind temperature too much and couldn't escalate. And then who could I not break the
NMR? Are you running a one-date model now, or are you running a two-date model in London?
One date.
So your day game sounds solid. What are you going to change for this higher date-to-lay ratio? Is it like me for off the gas? And maybe even going back to my old Chody adventure bubble, I honestly had a higher date-to-lay rate in 2012.
Really?
It's pathetic. Why? Because I used to ride bicycles.
Blimey. The ultimate seduction tool.
Yeah, it's proof that the Mode 1 Super Direct stuff is mythical.
Hmm.
It's yes, girls. Across the world, even in Las Vegas. Well, no, not in Las Vegas, but maybe. It's safer to go on 2 dates.
Hmm. Well, I found that this year, actually. I was doing 1 drink. I was doing 1 venue, and I was just like, right, let's go. I'm walking her back to my front door. I didn't even say anything as we went up the stairs.
Oh, they come in? That's
they,
not
they
the
always
problem.
Come in. And then they sit on their sofa and think, blimey, okay, this is maybe too much. Or, you know, they get scared.
Trip all these alarm systems, and the 4 brain shutters just roll right down.
Oh, exactly. ASD. That's it. It's just coming
it's
out.
ASD. Yeah.
So the thing I'm doing, I'm slowing down. Slowing down and doing 2 venues. That is me slowing down this year.
Well, that's great.
So, I mean, it's great advice to say to someone, literally just go out and just go nuts.
Yeah.
Just live day game, get addicted, read the material, but also practice the action, you know, do the approaches that justify having read that theory.
Beginners should read Mode 1, which is by Alan Roger Curry, who I hope to get on a podcast. You should, and you should go mental, street to home. 20 minutes.
Exactly.
Just try it. But the consensus amongst good day gamers is that it's suboptimal.
Mm.
It's suboptimal, even in New York and London.
Yes, and that's it. That's what I'm chasing, is a sort of optimizing. That's basically what all economics is about. It's about like what is the optimal choice for this given level of resources. And I suppose I'm at the stage right now where I want the lays. I don't really care too much for same day lays. It's like, I want to get this really efficient.
Yeah.
I want a base where I can say, do you know what, if I do roughly, you know, not promising, but if I do X number of approaches this week and next week, I will get 1 lay from it. Yeah.
Yeah, whether that can ever happen, I don't know. It does come in waves, and it is about this mythical word of vibe, which is very hard to track.
Exactly.
But we tried to.
I had that this year, and I look at my, when I look at the dates of the lays, I see a point where I got some awful one-itis, and the lays, just nothing. Obviously, nothing goes well.
Do you accept to, at some point, you have to drop the tracking and the analysing and the thinking? Is that part of your plan, that after 2 or 3 years you let it all go to achieve that nirvana?
Yeah, it is actually. I think 2018 I'll be going deeper with the stats, but probably after that I'll start to reduce it. You know, I might go from I might remove one of the layers, you know. Yeah. I might take, obviously I'm going to take away the date stuff, because hopefully that will be fixed by then. And yeah, getting to a point where you don't feel reliant on this process of 10 sets. Go, well, do my 2 hours, do 10 sets. And it's more enjoyable that way. Yeah.
Have you travelled, and will you travel, obviously, to the hotspots of Prague, Belgrade, Krakow?
Yes, I will actually. So probably not 2018, 2019, but I actually have a sort of have a I'm building up savings. Coming into the third year of my current 5-year plan. At the end of that 5 years, like a good communist economic plan, yeah. My 5-year plan, and at the end of that, that's it. Cut the job off, travel for 2 years.
Really?
Yeah. But hopefully I've brought across on the podcast that when I make my mind up to do something, I just go and do it. Mm. Yeah. So that's sort of a promise to myself.
Have you ever met Thomas from Poland?
I have not.
You remind me of him in your analytical ways, and people used to laugh at the depth of kind of, you know, that kind of guy's data, but results speak for themselves. You know, Thomas in Poland is a successful day gamer. Another Thomas here. You're called Thomas Crown, is that right?
I am indeed.
Thomas as in Pierce Brosnan, or who was it? Steve McQueen.
Yes, that's the one. I admit, actually, I've never watched the film.
Neither of the films.
Neither. Actually, my wing gave me the nickname. He said, this is a good one for you, Thomas Crown. And I thought to myself, yeah, that sounds pretty badass. I think I'll have that one.
Well, Brosnan is obviously very cheesy, but it's an okay movie. I do like the Steve McQueen, but it's a heist movie for our dear listeners. Right, we've gone a bit over time, but it's fine. Let's get to the conclusion, 2018. That's what you're aiming to do. Mm-hmm. You're not going to travel that much in 2018.
No.
What, out of interest, is your 9 or 10? Is it Brazilian, Swedish, Russian?
Actually, I was writing about this the other day, and I put a comment up on another blog where it was talking about 10s.
Yeah.
And I think I sort of came to the analysis that 10, it's not about describing her, it's about how she makes you feel. Mm-hmm. There's a sort, and this might sound really bizarre, but when I look at a dog, let me finish. So when I look at a dog, I'm just really happy. And it's like, oh, look at the dog, nice. You can stroke it on the head, scratch it, and it just wags its tail. And it's very happy, it's nice, you know, there's no agenda. And obviously everyone has an agenda, but you're looking for that. I'm looking, not looking, but for me, a 10 would be a girl who makes me feel very much at peace, just happy, yeah, very satisfied. Like, I'm a very a driven guy, I suppose.
I'll take that, but I've argued many times in seminars, Victoria's Secret casting agents and guys that travel the length of Russia. I've met some on a train from Moscow to Novosibirsk. I said, what are you doing going to Novosibirsk? He said, I'm looking for models. I said, can you show me exactly what you're looking for? He said, fuck yeah, it's my job. He gets out this folder with hip, waist, yep, breast, neck, and I say, fuck man, that is a 10, isn't it? He's like, yeah, this is what FHM and Dove soap regard as a 10. And so, yeah, that's a different topic for a different day, but I accept it. And weirdly, those 10s or 9s, if you bang a 9 and she's not that good in bed, or there's not very good sexual chemistry maybe with you, and then you think, oh, I remember that 8 who was so fun and she was so cool and I could hang out with her, and she still made me horny, she's still hot. So that's a topic for another time. But
that's something I've been, I'll keep on going on asides, but that's something I've been thinking about recently, is that, you know, when you get into game and it is, you kind of swing to one way in terms of our selector, you know, evolutionary biology, all that matters is fertile, all that matters, yep, is that she's hot, and you throw away this notion of compatibility.
Yeah,
you actually start to, you're willing to part with unending bullshit if she's really, really hot. And of course, you know, that makes sense from your biological perspective. And then you kind of have this internal dilemma, because you start to think to yourself, well, did I like this girl more because she was super hot, or did I just like her because we had good conversation, or am I literally just a product of my dick and like what my balls want, and now everyone in the pub is giving us weird looks?
They know what we're talking about.
Mm. So yeah, it's lots to
question.
Think about.
It's a good question,
but I think you have to look at all the porn stars you like, try and bang one or two of them, and then this is the magic moment that Russell Brand talks about. When you shot your load, you have about 5 to 10 minutes of man peace, and lie back on the bed and look at that girl who you've just gifted with your wonderful jewels, and think, do I like it? Is she cool? Do I want to see her again? That's the only time in your life, my friend, when your dick isn't speaking to you. And it's a blissful state. I walk around in my pants just going, oh, this feels so good. It's just, I don't need to get laid. There's no hot girls. I can think about poetry. And anyway, but 2018, that's a good link, Tom. There you go. It should be a news anchor. Because in 2018, you might have already read that my, it's not a goal. It's happening because I bought the fucking thing. I bought a van. I bought a panel van. I am a white van man for Wales, and I'm converting it right now, and I'm going to be driving it around all those key Degen destinations, not for yoga but to fuck girls, right? I'm not pretending this is van life. And why am I doing that? Because the best moments in 2017 were obviously with hot girls, but going with those hot girls to do some crazy things and have sex in a forest or on a boat or just weird kinky things. And waking up with a girl next to a lake or a mountain or in the middle of nowhere, it takes it to a whole new level. Now, I'm not talking about she is my girlfriend, because I replicated that model. I tested it in 2017 with about 6 girls, and they all know what I do. They're probably listening to this podcast, and they found it kind of funny. And a guy will say, well, a high quality girl will not bang you in a van. Well, I beg to differ. You should ask Craig what kind of girls came to our van in Canada. I think your chances of banging a girl in a van are much higher than in a penthouse, to be honest. The higher quality the girl, the more she wants to bang in a van. But that's for next year. And my aim, if you know my 2017 stats, is to slow down, because it was tragic how many girls I wasted in 2017. If that was in 2012, I would have banged another 18 girls this year. And some of them really hot, and it's my fault that I'm like, I'm the fucking pimp. I'm one date, one drink, one lay. And when she didn't fuck me, I said, well, I have this technique called the royal flush, and I'm going to do it on you, bitch. And looking back, it was embarrassing how sometimes I was so cocky and arrogant and reactive. So I've withdrawn that technique. If you're listening to this podcast, don't do it. It has a very high failure rate, except in Moscow. Don't do it, especially don't do it in with kind of sweet girls. It doesn't work. I'm the fucking pimp. They don't like pickup artists. They don't like players. So biology says R and K, but this, as I say in 3.0, there's something in, not in the middle, but it's something, what did you say, implied. The moment you go explicit, it doesn't work. Somebody said girls want to be seduced, but they don't want to know they're being seduced. The moment you say, I'm seducing you, she's like, okay, oh, you don't get it.
So Tom, are you willing to turn your back on elephant in the room then?
No, elephant in the room works extremely well, except if it's about hardcore sex. So I can say to you, oh my God, I haven't been listening to anything you've been saying, you know. I've been looking at your legs. It's a great spike. Girls love the fact that they know that you're good. They feel comfortable the moment you're like, oh, he gets it. I think elephant in the room shows that you get it, whereas royal flush shows you don't get it. Because why would Pierce Brosnan react?
No.
You'd have to really upset Pierce Brosnan to get him to like shout in the bedroom. And sometimes this year, I'm like, get out, just get out.
Very sassy, Tom. I didn't know you had it in you.
Yeah, I was proper camp, proper Freddie Mercury. Anyway, what's the bloody time? Let me look at the recording. Mm-hmm. Oh, you lucky bastards, that was a 40-minute podcast.
Oh my goodness.
You got to go to your date?
I do, you've had 40 minutes of us coming in your ears.
Yeah, you'll need to go and see a sexual health clinic tomorrow. When this is coming out, tomorrow will be 2018. So obviously, thank you for listening. I wish you a happy, healthy, horny 2018. God bless you. And thank you, Tom. Long may you continue with this amazing streak of, glory, day game glory.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
All right, until 2018, you filthy bastards. Goodbye.